Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. You know, I'm just so excited about this show because I'm going to do something a little bit different. You know, usually we have five guests on the show. Today we have two guests on the show, but the reason we're doing that is because I want to spend a little bit more time than I usually do with today's guests, and especially using this show as a way to help me change my life. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and share this show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. But don't just share the show. I need you to be an active participant in what we're doing to make this world a better place. So I want you to go to your neighbor. I want you to wake your roommate. I want you to call Granny. You haven't been speaking to Granny since March. Give her a call. Let her know the Roundtable Talk Show is live and we are here to help you. So while you're doing that, I'll go ahead and introduce my first guest, who, like I said, is going to help me be a better me, Ms. Emily Dankers. And she is a registered dietitian and founder of Emily RD Nutrition Coaching. Good morning, Emily. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you?
I'm excited. I'm excited to have you on the show. I went to Vegas this weekend. The entire time I was like, Sharifa, you have to do better, because I'm telling you, I ate like some of this. I had fried chicken a couple of times. I had this wonderful donut that was filled with cream cheese and blueberries. And I was like, okay, it's the weekend, you're on vacation, have fun. But on Monday morning, when you get back, you know, you got to make some changes. So I was excited about talking to you about who you are and what you do and how you can help people change their lives.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to be here.
So tell us about yourself, Emily.
Yeah, so my name is Emily. I started off my career as a sports dietitian. So I went to Ohio State for a grad school program that was focused on a sports nutrition internship. So I was able to work with all the teams there. And after that, I went and worked for the Chicago Cubs minor league. And I was right there in the clubhouse with the guys, teaching them all about nutrition, making smoothies, helping them, you know, get through that long season. And then after my time with the Cubs, I spent two seasons there. And then I worked at University of Illinois for one season with their basketball team, and that was last year. And then after that, I decided it was time to make my dreams happen. So I decided to branch off and start my own business. And that's what I'm working on now. It's Emily RD Nutrition Coaching.
You're wonderful, Emily. That was great. That was wonderful. That sounds like those bios and those resumes that come across the desk, and you're like, this person has everything going for them. But how did you get here, Emily? What was the passion? I mean, to me, I like to get to the story of why we help other people, why we do what we do, you know? So what is your driving passion in your business and what you do?
Yeah, so my whole reason for switching from sports nutrition into real nutrition coaching is I felt that there was a disconnect between me just telling people what to eat and really getting to the emotional side, because honestly, all the information in the world on nutrition is just a Google search away. You could look up anything you want. It could tell you how to eat just from Google, but by having a nutrition coach, that's someone who's really gonna get to the emotional underlying side of everything, and it's really going to be your accountability coach throughout the whole step of the way, every journey that you're going to take to be healthy. And I just wanted to reach more people. I wanted to help more people, you know, realize these goals that they've had for themselves. Like you're saying, you know, you're in Vegas and you knew like you're going to enjoy yourself, but I want to get back on track. And yeah, I just love helping people realize that, hey, I can make these goals a reality.
You can, but Emily, I must tell you, to me, if I were going to judge you, you look like a nice lady. Like for me to have a nutrition coach, I need a sergeant. I need a general. I need somebody who just comes and smacks that donut out of my hand. Like Sharifa, no, that's, you know, or, you know, that's a little violent. So we don't have to be violent. Or I need that coach where I'm like, I want hamburgers and French fries for lunch. And they're like, that's wonderful. Here's your salad. It's like, that's what I want. I want somebody to come into my life and to a certain extent take over, because if you leave it to me, it's not going to work. I talk about, when I launched the show on March 30th, I came up with the idea for the show on March 3rd, and I was committed. I was changing my life. I was going to eat better. I did a juice fast for about 5 days. I drank so much water. I was eating healthy. The global pandemic hit, and I was at McDonald's ordering mocha frappe. I was like, how did I get here? How did I get to this moment? So what are some of the things that you recommend for longevity in making nutritional changes?
So yeah, that's my whole approach is I know you're saying, if it's left to you, you're not going to do it, but my goal is to empower my clients to know how to do it, 'cause I'm not going to be by their side every single day for the rest of their lives. And that's the thing with nutrition. So my goal is to just teach people healthy habits. Slowly add them on one at a time until it becomes second nature, and then they've totally changed the way they eat. So to give you one, little thing that I tell people, like right off the bat, the first thing is hydration, because it's the cheapest, quickest, easiest way to really start getting healthy. So everyone needs to drink half their body weight in ounces every day. So that's a lot. If you think of how much you weigh, cut that in half. That's how many ounces of water you have to drink in a day. So that's a lot of water for people. People are usually not used to drinking that much. So that's a great free way to start feeling better by trying to get to that goal.
Oh, I love that. You mentioned my favorite number, free. I love free. I
There you
just really
go.
do. So this is my Sharifa Hardy Fix My Life show. We're going to come back to you, Emily. I want to introduce my next guest, and then we'll start the conversation, and you both can figure out how you can improve my life. Let's get back to me. But I want to introduce Chris Salerno, who invests in real estate and focuses on financial freedom, but he uses affirmations in order to help not only himself and people make their lives better. So maybe Chris will help me with my life today. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. How are you?
I'm excited. I'm excited. You're on a whole new show that I just made up this morning. It doesn't even
I
exist,
love
but you're on
it.
it.
Good. Good. I love it. Thank you.
It's Fix Sharifa's life, okay?
Well, we're here to help you.
So you invest in real estate, correct?
Yeah, I own a private equity company that buys large apartment complexes. So we buy the big, large apartment complexes you see.
Okay, Chris. See, I love judging people because I looked at Emily and I said, "You look like a nice lady." Now look at Chris. And Chris, don't leave my show because I don't mean to be rude, but you look about 18, like 19.
That's the youngest I've ever gotten. I appreciate that. I normally get in my late 20s or early 30s. That's the age I normally get, but I'll take the young one.
Right. So it's like you just seem so young. Do you have the experience for investing in real estate?
Yeah, we do. So I founded QC Capital February 1st, 2019. Within a little over 7 months, we have a little over 40 million and 364 units. Currently, we just launched a $350 million real estate opportunistic fund that I'm currently raising capital for. So we're looking to purchase anywhere from $1 billion to $1.2 billion worth of real estate in the next 3 years.
That answered that question, huh, Chris?
I hope so.
I heard a few millions in there, a couple of billions in there. I'm like, okay, well, okay, Chris, all questions aside, I'm just gonna sit here for the next hour and be quiet. How can you fix my life? How can I get into real estate investment? What do I need to do to be more like you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing overall, not only in real estate investing, but even in health, like Emily was saying, a big thing's mindset, holding yourself accountable, having that type of mindset. When people think about investing in real estate, and especially when I come to them and say about a 100-unit apartment complex, they're like, well, I don't have money. That's the first thing they say. Well, I bought my first 44 units with no money down. I bought my 144 and 176 units with no money down. So it's how you structure it, but it's also how you have that mindset with that positivity. Like you said, how am I doing today? I'm amazing. Every day I'm amazing. even if it's raining outside, I'm amazing because I enjoy life. I'm proud that I get a chance at another day of life. But I have that positive, that mindset that definitely helps, and it helped projected our company to the level our company's at very quickly with that type of mindset in investing into real estate. But a lot of people don't know. I say educating yourself on it. Go to YouTube videos. Read books. I'm in the process of writing a book on real estate investing for multifamily. Listen to podcasts, listen to show like yours, you know, Roundtable Talk, where people are just talking, giving out education, free content. I know you love free content and free knowledge that can help you so you can become financially free or help you become more healthier.
What do you think about mindset, Emily, and what Chris had to say?
It's everything. And since starting my own business, I've realized that. I did not have the mindset piece down as a sports dietitian at all. I focus on everyone else. And that's something I've really learned, that, you know, being an entrepreneur and starting your own business, mindset is everything, because you are your business and this when you're starting out. I've been trying to listen to podcasts, read a lot of books, get my mindset right, stay positive every day.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to hold yourself accountable. And every morning I'm in the office at 7 a.m. I have a newborn and I'm a stepdad, and I'm in the office at 7 a.m. every morning. And I tell my fiance, I say, look, if I'm in the office at 7:01, I'm late and I'm going to get fired. And she's like, you're your own boss. I'm like, I have that mindset where I need to be in the office at 7 to start my day. So it's very hard.
You remind me of an interview I did yesterday. I definitely would love for the two of you, as well as, you know, our audience, to tune into one of the shows I did yesterday on Ash Sharif, a video cast. And I was speaking to an entrepreneur who has her own business and she has an 8-month-old baby. And we were talking about advice. And I was mentioning that the main advice that I give new entrepreneurs is to literally treat it like a job. Do your 40 hours, you know, because we tend to give our boss, when we were working for someone else, our best. We're not there at 7 o'clock. We're there at 6:45. We make sure we're at our desk, ready to work at 7 o'clock. We're off in 8 hours. We make sure that we do exactly what we need to do. But when we launch our own business, instead of getting there at 6:45 or 7 o'clock, we kind of wound up there sometime during the day. And we stay for, you know, maybe a couple of hours, you know, do a couple of things. And then we go to happy hour, we go to dinner, we go on that date, and we don't treat our business that like a job. So we have to understand that it's work. You know, the number one question people ask me is, what is the one business that's guaranteed to be successful? And I always say, is that one thing that you're willing to do day in and day out. It doesn't matter about the product or the service. You have to work your business.
Yeah. And there's a book called The One Thing. And I'm when I coach individuals, I tell them, you need to focus on your one thing. If you look at a racehorse racing a race, they have blinders on. They're not focused at the other horses. They're focused at what they need to do. And if you do that in your business, you'll be great at it. You'll be phenomenal at it. You can make any type of money in any type of business, any type of career. You just have to make sure that's your one thing. And I think really holding yourself accountable. I currently, our office is in a co-working space. Well, there's construction workers that have an office on the other end. So I went into their office and I said, what time do you guys get here in the morning? They said 6:45. I said, thank you. So I'm in the office at 6:30 now, because I want to be the first one in the office.
Right. That's that mindset. That's that attitude. That's that winner. But I love the fact that you're not doing it because someone else is forcing you to do it, or someone else is making you do it. That's what makes someone successful. And at 18 or 19, that's how you know you'll be successful for future years to come, because you're starting with those habits while you're young.
I'm in my mid-20s, so just for the future.
I like giving you a hard time, because you got this little baby face. Like, you look innocent, but when you speak, you can tell that you have experience. And I love that, because I kind of do the same thing, not with my age, but when people look at me and I go into meetings, I just kind of sit there quiet and they're like, she has no idea, you know, what's going on. She doesn't have the experience. She doesn't have the knowledge. And then all of a sudden I start talking and speaking, and people are like, where'd that come from?
Oh yeah. I love it.
Take people off guard. Emily, how about you?
Yeah, what I really liked about everything we were just talking about that I've been working on recently is, part of that mindset piece is not having my emotions dictate what I do in a day. So the tasks that need to get done in a day, yes, it's all for me, it's for my own business. And no matter how I'm feeling, I have to do them. Even maybe I'm not feeling at the top of my game creatively as I'm creating content for my Instagram posts, but I need to just do it. And that's something I've been working on recently is like pretend that you have a boss and that this is what you have to get done. It doesn't matter how you're feeling that day, things have to get done. So that's been my challenge and my goal for August is to put the emotions aside and just charge ahead and get done what needs to get done.
I like that, but I can see a balance in that, because one of the things that I've learned as an entrepreneur, and the only way I can live my life is as an entrepreneur, is because I truly go where spirit says go. I'm led by what needs to happen and what's priority at that moment. So if I were going to focus on things that I have to do, I kind of focus on what I have to do that day or what I have to do that week. I don't like schedules. Like people who meet me, they like, Sharifa, you are the weirdest person in the world, because I refuse to schedule anything. I do not do pre-show calls before the roundtable. I do not do a lot of meetings, and mainly because I have 5 guests per day, 25 guests per week. It'd be very difficult to have a pre-show, with everyone. And I don't like to fill up my schedule, because I may be like, oh, let me meet with Chris today at noon and we're going to have this talk. And then at 11:30, Emily calls and she's like, Sharifa, we have to work on your diet. We got to do this and it'll take us 2 hours. And then all of a sudden, Chris is just gone. So it's like, I love to have at least some flexibility in the day. So I do focus on telling myself, Sharifa, you have to do this. But I relax enough to know that, okay, do it today, do it this week, because I'm an emotional person and I don't know what I'm gonna feel like doing tomorrow.
I love that. I love that. One thing that has definitely helped me is, one, I meditate in the mornings and in the evenings to
I do
reflect.
too.
But when I
Yes.
do meditate, a lot of entrepreneurs, they get the mixed and the confusions between being busy and being productive. Those are two different type of things, of being busy and being productive. And I think if you really think on it, is, am I being productive right now in my business, or am I just being busy in my business? And if you focus more on being productive, yes, you're not going to wake up and gain success overnight. It is a long-term business that no matter what career you're in, especially real estate, it's long-term. And you may feel like there's some days I wake up and I feel like I'm not doing anything, but it's compounding over these years to get to where I want to take the company to. But I do that every morning and night, is meditate, and I think on, am I being busy or am I being productive throughout the day?
Yes, I definitely agree. And it reminds me of a story that I live by. And I learned to adapt to how people operate and how people do things. It's a little story about two men who are at work. And one of the guys sees the other guy not doing anything. So he goes to the boss and he tells the boss, John's not working. He's not doing anything but sitting at his desk, twirling it around in a circle all day, doing absolutely nothing. He says, I'm working hard. I've been working since I got here. I work all day. I stay for overtime. I'm doing everything. So the boss tells him, leave John alone. The last time John sat in his chair and twirled around, he gave us a $1 million idea. So it's like, I love to think about that. It's like, you don't know how people come up with their inspiration, but you just have to allow for it and allow for it to appear. So I'm a very moody person. There are times when I'm go, go, go. And there are times when I have to sit back and relax and say, okay, Sharifa, you might need to take a little bit slower. But I think as entrepreneurs, we have to give ourselves that freedom to be able to figure out how we operate best, how we work best, and what works best for us.
And I think, I mean, Emily can definitely speak on this. I think, your body will tell yourself you need to relax, you need to reset your mind, reset your body, to keep pushing forward. I think she can talk heavily on that with, when it comes to health and mindset.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of times, the mind takes over and people get so into what they're doing, they're totally focused on that, that they're not paying attention to their body. So that's another big thing that I think is super important, is having that mind-body connection. It's like taking a second to step away from your work, because every entrepreneur is very passionate about what they're doing. So they're going to be really into it. But to be able to take a step back and realize, like, hey, I need a break. My body needs this. I need to start taking care of myself better, or else I'm not going to be able to do the work that I am so passionate about. Super important.
Okay, so I like the word, I like what you had to say, but I key in on certain words. And one of the words that I heard is better, like take care of ourselves better. What does that really look like from a nutrition perspective? You gave us the information on water, what we need to drink, but there's a great debate on what is considered healthy. And I know healthy is different from different people, their bodies, their metabolism, but what are some simple basic things that people can do to have to be healthier and also help their mindset?
Yeah, so that is a big question. And
I like big questions.
That's why my programs are months long, because I have to know a person. I have to figure out how what makes them tick and why they make their decisions. And then we go from there. And you said exactly what you said. Everyone needs something different. But there are a few things that everyone could do that would make you feel better. So I like saying the hydration one, because free, easy. Numbers, like it's, and unfortunately most of nutrition is not that simple, but I mean, I'm gonna say this, everyone, you know, you think of a dietitian, think of vegetables, but that is just like another amazing way to just feel great. I call vegetables nature's multivitamin. Like add vegetables and everything you eat, you're gonna feel so much better, I promise. And it also, you know, they have vitamins, minerals, fiber, keeps you full. We love that. So focusing on vegetables and focusing on protein. Protein's also super important. So yeah, those are like the two big ones. Carbs are important too, but I mean, for athletes more so, but for just, you know, you and me, regular people, protein, vegetables, hydration, focus on those and you'll be on the right track.
Okay, so basically listen to what your mom had to say. Eat your vegetables, drink your water.
Yep, it's you know, nothing special. You know, the more research that comes out, the more it says that, you know, all these fancy diets and these expensive juicing cleanses and this and that, like just going back to basics, that's what's going to help us the most. But it's easier said than done. I mean, I know all of this. I don't eat perfectly by any stretch of the imagination.
You have to hold yourself accountable.
You like that word, huh, Chris?
I love it.
That's his word. That's his word. That's
accountable.
Yeah, and it's true. And it's hard to do that because...
Difficult.
Yeah, you're with yourself all day if no one else is around. Like, oh, the calories I eat by myself don't count, but they do.
And it doesn't help, too, when Chick-fil-A delivers, you know, and all these...
These days, everyone delivers.
The button, you got a Chick-fil-A sandwich with fries. That's not helpful.
Yeah,
I was going to say the same thing. They just built a new one down the street for me. And I was like, okay, more restaurants. So I want to talk a little bit more about that. But I want to read a comment from one of the viewers today. Amy Trout Hughes says, making space and time for inspiration and resetting is critical. Time management includes breaks, often easier said than done. So I just want to go ahead and read Amy's comment, but I want to go back to something that you were saying, Emily, and we were discussing nutrition. Now, for me, losing weight and becoming healthier are very important to me. About 2 years ago, I tried the keto diet, lost about 40 pounds, gained about 50 pounds after the keto diet. And I was like, okay. And everything I read after that said it's not sustainable. You know, it's basically one of those things that you do if you need to fit into a dress at a wedding or, you know, short term, but, you know, not long term. So then one of my friends introduced me to another program, and it was basically you get these little packets of powder and then you put it in the water and then it makes cookies, it makes shakes, it makes all these different things, but it's all powder. And I'm like, okay. And not only is it all powder, but it was $500 a month. And I was like, okay, I'm not paying $500 a month for powder. You know what I mean? Like, we already know, like, basic classes in school taught us processed food is the worst. You know what I mean? No, but you want me to give you $500 a month for powder in a
It
pack?
sounds like an MLM.
Yeah. It is. It really yeah. is. You can just spot them. And I did it for the first month to help my friend. But after that, I said, if I was going to spend $500, I would at least do Weight Watchers. I would do something that is sending me the meal, because I wanted to go back to what Krista said. And we kind of laughed and made the joke. But for me, I'm always going. And I do a lot of Postmates. I do a lot of Postmates. And my dad is always telling me, he's like, Sharifa, you can't eat out all the time. It's not healthy. But when you have three talk shows, you're a business consultant, you're an author, you know, you're a mom, you're trying to work with Chris to invest in real estate, I don't have time to cook a full meal. So how can you, what do people like me do? Because I'm suffering, like, for real.
Yeah. So that's the beauty of it, is you can get Postmates, you can order from places. Almost every place has healthy options. So mm-hmm. it's just a matter of ordering healthy. So we're talking Chick-fil-A. You can a really quick and easy swap. And sorry to take away, you know, I understand the regular chicken sandwich is amazing, but the grilled chicken sandwich,
I love it.
It's
the
good.
Grilled chicken.
It's not, the grilled chicken's very yeah. good. It's not the same. It's not going to taste like a fried chicken sandwich, but it's from Chick-fil-A. It tastes great. It's super filling and it's healthy. You're not going to feel terrible after. So it's just finding these things at all these different restaurants. If you have four or five go-tos, learning what maybe a slightly healthier choice would be, and then getting that. Because it doesn't have to be, you're in a kitchen all day cooking, you know, you don't have to spend a ton of money on it. You don't have to spend a ton of time on being healthy. It's just a matter of making it work for you. If ordering takeout works for you because you're an extremely busy person, figure out ways to order the healthier stuff. And it doesn't have to be every time either. I'm very much for balance. So like Sharifa, you were in Vegas, you're on vacation. Like, yes, enjoy some foods that you don't normally get, because that's part of life, is enjoying foods. But when you're back home and you're like, I'm gonna get, you know, healthy, I'm gonna be focused, then making some of those decisions, you know, one or two small decisions a day, every single day for a year, for 5 years, is really going to
compounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you don't take, we didn't put the weight on overnight. So it's not going to take, it's not going to come off overnight. But what I see, and what I've seen, I've done in the past myself, is when I want to lose weight, I don't eat as much. But I realize that the body can go into starvation mode and hold on to the food it already has, because it doesn't know when it's going to receive its next meal. But my appetite, you know, isn't always there, even though, I understand I need to speed up my metabolism in order for my body to come out of starvation mode. What are some of the things that you recommend doing and when you're trying to speed up this process? And maybe you're not that hungry.
Yeah, so you hit the nail on the head. Eating small meals throughout the day is a great way to speed up metabolism. You don't, it's not the only way to eat. You know, eating three meals a day works for some people, but if you're someone who is not feeling very hungry throughout the day, just having something there. And if you're truly, I know people who go the whole day and they're just not hungry, but like you said, starvation mode, we don't want that. So some people, I tell them to set, you know, an alarm on their phone and to have a healthy snack, like some trail mix. Handful of trail mix has a ton of calories, but it's all really healthy stuff. So it's not like you have to eat this much. It's just a little tiny handful, but that's going to get your metabolism going. And, you know, so when you're eating throughout the day, you don't get to the end of the day and you're starving and you eat everything and then go to bed and not use that food for energy. At the end of the day, you know, that's the time of the day when we don't really need a lot of food. Earlier on, the better, because you're up, you're awake, you're thinking, you're walking around, you're doing stuff, and you're using that food for energy. So the more you can eat earlier on in the day, the better.
Yes, and my mother taught me that as well, you know, to eat. My mother eats ice cream in the morning, you know what I mean? Because she's like, she can work, she doesn't do it every day, but when she decides to eat ice cream, she'll eat it in the morning or around 11 when she has enough time during the day to work it off. You know, as opposed to having it after dinner when you're about to go to sleep and it's It's right there on you. So it's a lot of wonderful information you can learn from moms. Moms have the best advice. I
They're
know
the
mine
best.
does. So I want to go back and allow Chris to help me make some changes in my life real quick. I made some notes. Chris, you mentioned, if I heard you correctly, that your first 44 units, you paid no money down. Okay. Now, we're not going to get into too much into your personal business, but when I hear that, I think, okay, there must be some more. Like, you had to have like the best credit. You had to have great references. You must have the best business plan. You know, somebody co-signed for this apartment building. How does the average person purchase real estate with no money down?
Yeah, that's a great question. Now, when it comes to a large apartment complex, you are right with a couple of those. You do have to have credit and you have to have a net worth of the apartment complex. Well, first getting into it, I didn't have the net worth of a $6 million apartment complex. So what I did was I aligned myself through my networking capabilities with individuals who are out there that will just sign on the loan. There's tons of people out there that will just sign on the loan who meet those requirements. And yes, you're going to have to compensate them because it is very risky. But they sign on the loan so then you can purchase it. And then through depending on what you're doing, if it's single family, if it's multifamily, through your networking capabilities, you get other partners to invest alongside of you. And you have to do a full underwriting, full due diligence. It's a full process. But to get to that point, listening to podcasts, shows like yours, YouTube, reading books to help gain the knowledge of the basics of it, and then start aligning yourselves and networking and adding value to people where they want to partner with you. That's how you're going to be able to purchase any type of asset with no money down, is having those partners who see your interest and align your interest with your same goals as well.
Okay, well, I need a website. I need a group. I need something where all those people who are willing to sign their name on the lobby.
Facebook is everything. You can go in Facebook, type in any real estate or type in multifamily and join all those groups and just start networking, start posting and reading comments and commenting on other people's posts. And it's huge. I mean, the internet and social media, it's a double-edged sword. It's damaging in the fact that when we go on Facebook, we end up start squirreling through Facebook, looking at our friends' stuff. But if you use it to be productive, you can actually network. And now the sky's the limit because you can network with people in Singapore, which I do on in the evenings because they're 24 hours or 12 hours or 24 hours in advance. But social media, you can network with everyone across the world. Use that to your advantage to gain knowledge because knowledge is powerful. People will pay you for your knowledge, just like Emily, just like you, they pay you for your knowledge. And to do that, it's free. Social media is free, but you have to use it in the right way. If you use it to just post stuff and to like other people's stuff or to argue with people about politics, then you're not going to get anywhere.
Absolutely, not going to get anywhere in life,
That's right.
especially. Now, let me just ask you, what have you seen as far as real estate over this global pandemic? I've had so many different
Yeah.
responses to that question. I've had people who said, do not buy, do not spend any money. And it was funny because one of my most animated guests just so happened to be in Las Vegas. And he was like, buy now, get it now. It's pennies on the dollar. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if he's a gambler or not. But I get so many different responses to that question of whether you should buy or wait.
So that's what make that that's why I love business and that's why I love real estate in general is because everyone else everyone and us three have different levels of fear and we have different levels of that fear is holding us back to buying now or to sitting on the sidelines to see what happens. And I think it's how you see the whole situation as is COVID. Now, when we talk about real estate, we're talking about a very broad range of asset classes. We're talking about single family, industrial, retail, office. I would not buy office or retail retail right now. I would wait a couple of weeks to buy. Not a couple of weeks, a couple of months to buy, because the pandemic's still going to hit. A lot of people are going out. I know a lot of people are not signing their leases and trying to get out of their leases for office. So I wait a couple of months to buy because it will turn around. But I'm in the multifamily business, and the one reason why I got into this business is it's a necessity. We need shelter. You cannot create an Amazon and hurt the multifamily business. You can't. Yes, people are going to buy single family homes. That's totally fine. But you will never create a large tech company and hurt shelter that we need as humans as a necessity. So right now, when it comes to multifamily, it's still very strong. We're seeing it through the pandemic, even with the debt terms changing on us a little bit. It has dropped prices anywhere from 2 to 7%, depending on your market that you're purchasing in. But we're seeing it being very strong. And right now, these large institutional investors have around $1.6 to $1.7 trillion just sitting there in their bank accounts. And I speak to them on a daily basis, and they're all waiting to dump it all in, mainly into multifamily. But they will diverse into other asset classes, but a lot of them will go into multifamily because of how strong it is through the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so next time you speak with them, Chris, let them know that they can invest in Sharifa's multifamily units because you just changed my life. Don't forget you. Write that down, Chris.
I won't. I got you. This is recording, so send me the link. I got you.
I got you. One of the other things that I've been told is that, and I believe you're absolutely correct, that multifamily units are the way to go. And one of that reason is that people are seeing with commercial property that they are just being eliminated, that so many businesses are not going back to having their employees come back into the office, not just because of COVID-19, but because they just realized, like, oh my God, we can do 99% of this virtually through e-commerce. So even
the people who are,
yes. And so they're like, I don't even want that office, even if it was perfectly fine. If, even if it wasn't a peach tree full of, you know, COVID-19 bugs, I don't want to go back. You know, it's interesting because I love having weird conversations with people. I've been with GoDaddy since the 90s. And I was talking to my representative the other day, and she was telling me about her experience now that they're working from home full time. You know, but it's easier for them. There's no reason for them to go back to the office. So are you seeing that as well, that I won't even say 99%, that's unfair, but that companies do not plan to use this office space? I know you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, so I have an employee that is heavily in office. We don't focus on office, but what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing from other people, it's 50-50. You're going to have office, because if you and I wanted to meet face to face, I'm not going to your hotel room, or my fiance will I'll be single. So we're going to an office to meet in a conference room. So okay. You always have office. I think what's going to happen is the necessity type of jobs that want the executives in the office, they're actually going to want more space to go by these guidelines of COVID. But the ones that can have people work from home, they will. I think new technology will roll out for these large companies to track how productive are their employees being by working from home. Now, me personally, I cannot work from home. Mm-hmm. I have a newborn. I'm a stepdad. I've done it before. My fiance comes and hands me the baby, and I'm like, I got a conference call in 5 minutes. I can't hold the baby. For me, I can't work from home, but it's really tracking to see if these employers can track their employees on how productive they're actually being by working from home. So I see it kind of mixed. Some companies will expand due to COVID. Some will go ahead and cut their expenses and say no. But an interesting fact, Forbes wrote an article on this, is that by 2025, 30% of office will actually be co-working space. And the reason why is because these large companies don't have to sign a 5, 10, 12-year lease anymore. They can go in here and sign a month-to-month or a one-year lease, and whenever they want out, they can leave, and they don't have to worry about making sure the coffee's up at the front, making sure, you know, there's little snacks or anything like that. So they're willing to pay a little extra for a co-working space to do that, but still have that flexibility where they can go ahead and back out of their lease if they want, or have a shorter lease term. So I'm seeing that more too.
Yes, business has definitely changed. What have you seen, Emily, in the way your business or the people around you have pivoted in the way they operate during the global pandemic?
Yeah, so, I mean, just me, my business started with the pandemic. It started because of the pandemic, pretty much. My fiance is also a sports dietitian. So in March, we moved to Palo Alto, California, as he took a job with the Stanford football team. So when that happened, I pivoted, decided to go online nutrition coaching. And for him, I mean, he's working with a football team, but he can't be there, at least for the first few months. He's going in now. But it was all online. I mean, he's meeting with athletes one-on-one using Zoom. And so it's something that, we'd never, at least in the sports nutrition world, you've never done before. It's very hands-on. You're there, you're giving him this, you're giving him that. So I think it was almost empowering, for these athletes now. We're having more time to teach them because everyone has more time to sit down, get on Zoom, talk to each athlete one-on-one. And really say, okay, you're at home right now. What can you do with what's around you to feed yourself instead of me, the sports dietitian, just handing you this and this is what you need and this is what you need? It was interesting that way, where these athletes had a chance to really learn instead of being told.
I have one of the questions I've asked is, what aspects that you have made in business do you plan on keeping after the pandemic, or months later, or years later? I spoke with one gentleman who just so happens to be in real estate, and I believe it was in multi-unit homes as well. But he said, I am just going to continue to do Zooms and virtual appointments. He said, I've made more money during the global pandemic than I ever have. And the reason was he did virtual tours. So he was able to set up more tours in a day than he was prior to COVID, because he would spend all day taking people, meeting people, waiting for people to show up so that they can walk around and spend hours walking around one unit. Where on a Zoom or during a course of a day, you can have six, seven, nine, 1 hour Zooms. It doesn't matter, but you have the ability to show more properties in less time at the, from the comfort of your home. So he's like, I'm never going back. I don't know. Maybe
That's
that's just me.
really interesting. And it's just, yeah, he's found a way to be more efficient now, but we've all forced into this, which is interesting. It wasn't a choice for anyone. We're all forced into it. And some people, by doing that have found amazing success, which it's comforting to hear because I think a lot of people have gone the other way. It's
Oh,
a tough adjustment.
I'm one of those people, and it is, none of my doing that I've found so much success as a result of this global pandemic. And that's because when I launched the show, like I said, March 3rd, I had no idea. I just knew that I wanted to have a roundtable discussion because I just ran for Long Beach City Council. And I said, they wouldn't give me city council, so I took the round table, but I wanted to have a platform. I knew I had to have a voice or somewhere where I can talk to
Love it.
people and I can learn from people and ask people, well, what's going on in your world? What's going on in your world? And I can share that information. So it has worked for me, but if not, it wasn't just because it was a talk show. The reason it was a perfect storm is because never before had so many people been on Zoom. They wouldn't go to Zoom meetings. They wouldn't even think about Zoom meetings. Oh, well, I only do offline events. I only do this. I don't do that. I don't even know how to work Zoom. But now you're stuck at home, then I can invite anyone to be a guest on the show because everyone is using Zoom and everyone is taking opportunities that they may not have considered in the past because they have more time and they're used to Zoom and they're flexible. I noticed that I don't know where it is right now, but Zoom's stock went up to about 600%, and it probably might have went higher, but they never expected it. It was the perfect storm of everything happening at the right time for them. And as soon as that happened, I got so many inboxes or emails from new people who are starting companies like Zoom. Okay, well, we have this platform where you can do your talk show, and ours allows you to add comments at the same time. Ours allows you to do pretty backgrounds. And I was like, no, I like Zoom. I'm a loyal person. Once I find a company that I enjoy, like I said, I've been with GoDaddy since the 90s. Every time I call and they say, well, do you know how to open your web browser? I said, okay, hold on. Before we talk like that, take a look at my customer number. Okay. I've been with you guys since like 96. Okay. Talk to me like you would speak to a sysadmin. And then all of a sudden, all that goes away and they're willing to work with me. I don't know. Maybe somebody else has that same experience.
I want to touch on a couple of things. I think it's I think we use that for all of our properties prior to COVID. But I think what the big thing was is no one expected this. And anyone who was in the 08 recession, 2000, 1993, 1990 recession, no one's experienced a total shutdown of the economy. It's just, they didn't shut the economy down back then where everyone had to stay at home and that's what they did. And I think that was a really big changing point. And people who weren't on top of the ball or weren't necessarily a chameleon where they could really pivot very quickly in their business, they went out of business and they failed because of COVID. COVID pushed everything online, and that's where you see all these conferences are now online. But one big thing, and I was Googling it, is that during a recession, that's when companies were started. Instagram was started in 2010. Snap, Lyft, DoorDash, there's 10 of them, Impossible Foods, Tinder, Slack, all those companies were started in 2008 to 2010. So it's a great time to start a company. You just have to be on the offensive side and really be a chameleon and be able to move wherever, what's going to happen in the next couple months. No one knows.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And that's why they say more millionaires are made during a recession than any other time in history. Yeah. And I believe that that's because we have to figure it out. You know, people, you know, it's not one of those, it's not a luxury. It's something that you have to figure out. I've been laid off 8 times. So I definitely understand the recession of 2008, 2010, what we were going through. The first time I was laid off was in 2001, September 11th. You know, I've been affected by the economy and tragedies so many different times, but each time I become stronger and each time I adapt to simply be able to survive. Go ahead, Chris.
I real quick, I like to say you have to put your back against the wall. Mm-hmm. And I say this to everyone who asks me for advice, is I always do that on a daily basis. My company accounts are totally different. I don't watch them like I watch my personal account. And I watch that number and I want that number to be low because mentally I'm putting myself against the wall. And that's how I created my company, is I created my company on a certain budget. When I first got into real estate, I had $2,500. And I said, I'm going to make this work. And I kind of say it as like, if we were all in a tribe back in the day and our wives for the men say, you have to go get us food, go hunt. We're not coming back empty handed because we have to eat or we're going to starve. So if you kind of put yourself in that type of position where your back's up against the wall, us as humans will figure out what to do. We'll figure out the right path to gain the success or to gain those achievements or those goals that we have written down. And I think it's extremely, extremely important to put yourself in that position if you want to boost your company to reach your goals.
You mentioned that you do that on a daily basis. What are some of the minor things that you do to propel yourself forward on a daily basis? In your bio, you mentioned affirmations, and yeah. I was really interested in that. How do you use affirmations to propel yourself forward?
Yeah, so I always, you know, every day is a special day. You know, I'm not guaranteed that I'll live, you know, for the next 20 minutes, and no one knows. So I really treat it like it's my last. And I set daily goals, even though I have huge goals for the company. In the next 10 years, we'll have 50 billion assets under management. I have daily goals. And just like Emily said, you know, when you set these nutrition goals, it's compounding. I'm not going to eat a salad for lunch and I'm automatically going to be healthy. I'm going to have to do that over a couple years to see progress. And that's how it is when it comes to my business, is that I set daily goals, I set weekly goals, but my overall goal, my huge number one goal for the company achieves all my other smaller goals. But I do set little small daily goals and weekly goals to make sure I'm staying on track to reach that number one goal that we have set for the company.
Is everyone as driven in your family as you, Chris?
No. No, I always laugh and I say I got switched when I was a baby. but they're not. I just spoke with one of my employees before I got on here, and he says, I don't know how you do it. He says, you're just a workforce. And they even have to tell me I need to take a vacation sometimes because I'm go, go, go. I work, you know, 12-hour days minimum. And my fiance knows that if I don't, I start to basically have a panic attack that I'm not working enough. But I work 12-hour days minimum. I go home, I play with the kids, I put them to sleep, I spend some time with the fiance. Once she knocks out, I work to about 1 a.m. And then I have to wake up throughout the night to feed the little one. But I'm just so, I'm just, the motivation that I have to grow a large company, to help all the employees that I have, and to supply more jobs for people, is just, it's just tremendous. And that's what's fueling me to work harder and to show up, you know, at 6:45, 7 a.m. when no one is telling me to show up.
Mm-hmm. Something you mentioned was key, though. When I speak with successful people, the majority of them, and I don't recall one of them that I've spoken with that doesn't, they at least start their day with meditation. They start the day taking some time to meditate before going out into the day. You recommended meditation as well. Why do you recommend meditation for people?
So I do it in the mornings and in the evenings. And the funny thing is the meditation, sometimes I'll listen to, like, it's kind of like yoga music, I guess, like meditation music. And I've tried it on my almost 8-month old. When I put him to sleep, I turn it on and he knocks straight out. And I'm like, yes, I don't have to wait there an hour. But I use that sometimes in the evenings. But in the mornings, I don't use any music. And I think when it comes to meditating, you need to find the spot that fits you, that spot where you're not going to get distracted, where it's just you, no phone, just you. And me personally, that spot is in the shower in the morning because of the sound of the water. I love the sound of the water and it just puts me in a different zone. And I take 30-minute showers because 15 to 20 minutes of that is I'm just sitting there and I'm just thinking on life, thinking on the family, thinking on growing a business. What do I need to do? I just let my mind go. And whatever comes to my mind, it comes to my mind, and it gets that busyness. I think that gets my busyness out throughout the day, is that meditation, where now once I'm done, I'm like, okay, I'm laser focused. I'm ready to go. But your body and your mind needs that time. And just like Emily, you know, could say, is your health is very important, and your body needs that where it's just you. You know, sometimes it's good to just you go to a restaurant, you know, by yourself and just relax. But you need that you time so you can become successful. And I like you said, I see that a lot through very, very successful people, as they meditate or they have their just them time where it's just them.
I find that it's almost food for your mind.
Yeah, I like that.
To give yourself this space to just do nothing and think of nothing and see what comes to you. Because that's when I just heard a story about Thomas Edison, and he would go fishing every day, and he was the worst fisherman in the world because he never caught a fish. And they asked him, why did you never catch a fish? Like, why are you so bad at fishing? He said, oh, well, I wouldn't use bait. And they said, well, what's even the point of fishing then? And he said, well, the fish don't bother me and people don't bother me. So he had it right. And he's a genius. So,
I love it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Hundreds of years, thousands. Love it.
I like that. That just shows the importance of getting away and taking time for yourself. I like your definition of meditating, Chris, because I think when people go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I don't mean to interrupt. I just get so excited about
I do the same thing all the time.
And helping people. And so one thing I want to say is Warren Buffett's best ever investment that he's made, and it's on his documentary. He has a documentary on YouTube. I watch it all the time. He was actually in his bathtub and he was meditating. And he was just relaxing and not worrying about anything. And he says that's when he knew he should have bought, I can't recall the company, but he bought into a large company and then they sold and he made a huge profit. But he said it was in his bathtub just meditating.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then what I was going to say is so many people, when they first start out meditating, they always say, well, I can't get my mind to stop being busy. I keep thinking about this, thinking about that. And I'm like, well, you just have to let it go. You have to relax, because I meditate because what I find in my best meditation place is my bed. And people always say, don't meditate in your bed because you'll fall asleep. But then when I meditate in my bed and I fall asleep, I have the best dreams. But if I'm still awake, one of the things that I learned that I was doing was really planning out things in my head. So I may be meditating for an hour, but when I get up an hour later, I know exactly what to do. It's like I go and just do it because I've planned it out. I've thought through the entire step. before I did anything.
Yeah, I think everyone has their own spot, you know, their own place, you know, but just don't have any distractions and just let it just be you. No kids, you know, no significant other, just let it just be you. And that's really helps tremendously.
Yes, that one spot. Then I have my, I'm a doTERRA essential oils representative. So I have my diffuser and I love peppermint oil. It's just the best smell. I don't know, but I put my little peppermint oil in there, like turn my diffuser on and just relax. Yeah. I wake up rested. I get up relaxed, but I have so many ideas that I need to do it that I'm going for days because yeah. I just thought it out and planned it out. So I recommend, highly recommend anyone, especially anyone who is going through something, you want a clear mind, maybe you want to start a new business, you don't know how to go about it, where to start, what to do, who to talk to, start with meditation. And when you get up, guarantee you the next steps will be lined up for you and you can get up and take those actions. Now, I have enjoyed this conversation so much. I'm going to work on my nutrition. I'm going to call Emily every day. Please. I'm just going to be like, hi, Emily, it's me. That's it. That's all.
I'm here for you.
Good. And then I'm going to call Chris and I'll be like, Chris, I know you look at your personal accounts, but you don't look at your business account. But can you check my account? Because I need to know if I'm at the billions yet, Chris. I need you to get us to the bus, to the billion.
Let's go.
But we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you would like for them to take away from your appearance on the show today. And I'm going to start with you, Emily.
Sure. So what I would just want to tell everybody is don't compare yourself. What works for an Instagram influencer might not work for you. What works for your best friend might not work for you. Realize that you are your own person and you're also not defined by what you look like, by your weight. Mm-hmm. You know, do the best you can, small steps. I think we make 200 to 400 decisions a day based around food. Mm-hmm. Make most of them good. 80% of them, make them good. 20% of the time, enjoy yourself and just don't stress about it. You know, life's meant to be enjoyed. Be healthy most of the time, make the right decisions, and you'll be on the right path.
I think that's wonderful advice. Thank you, Emily. Chris, what do you have for us?
Yeah, and I definitely have to second Emily on that one is, you know, when you eat healthy, you feel a lot better too, and you can have that clear mindset, and it definitely helps tremendously because I've eaten some pizza before and I'm just like, oh, but you know, eating healthy really gets you going and really powers you through the day. But yeah, I would say, you know, just throughout everything, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're just starting a business, if you're thinking about it, create that mindset, that positive mindset, because mindset is very powerful because you will run into obstacles on a daily basis. You will see bad emails. You may get a lawsuit. You never know. But your mindset is what's going to help you power through that. And just never give up. I mean, I have people that told me I would never buy an apartment complex. I have people that told me that I can't raise the $354 fund. And I'm going to prove them wrong. And you know, one thing I want to say before we leave is that whoever drank Starbucks, it took Howard Schwartz 232 times to get a loan to create Starbucks. The 233rd time someone said yes and gave him some money. And now Starbucks is the largest coffee cafe in the world. So just never give up and have a positive mindset and just keep pushing.
I think that's very important because people always think of entrepreneurs as having an easy road to success.
Oh God.
And it's not. It's
I want to say it's like a drug because when you have a low as an entrepreneur, it's low. I mean, you think about just going to serve tables. You think about finding a job somewhere. Like it's this low, but your highs are super high. And the goal is how can you make that consistent?
Yeah,
you don't have stability, high highs, and just keep that consistent. That's the key when it comes to being an entrepreneur.
I agree. I was talking about that just yesterday, being laid off 8 times. I would go and get a job. Like, I'm going to be an employee. Then I get laid off. No, I'll never work for anyone ever again. And then I'm like, oh, this is not working. Then I go get a job. Like, this pattern repeated 8 times. Wow. So I definitely agree. It's the highs and the lows, but being able to find stability, you know, and the stability is back to what Emily was saying, is just understanding that it's going to be okay, that no matter what the highs or the lows, that at some point it balances out and it's just going to be okay. And you reminded me of two things that happened to me. One was when I was running for Long Beach City Council, and people said to me, Sharifa, how are you going to run for Long Beach City Council? You don't like talking with people. And I said, no, I love talking to people. I just don't like talking with people. And so I read, you know, like that's a different mindset, because I love to get out the messages, but sometimes just having these discussions get to you. But so then when I launched the show, it just so happened we're in COVID-19 and I cannot get my hair done to save my life. And so all my friends, knowing how, you know, I am, were like, Sharifa, how are you going to do a show with, you know, your hair's not done? Like you, I'm a prissy kind of child, but I was like, you know what? It's okay. You know, the show has to go on. I just got my hair done like 2 months ago for the first time, you know? So it's like just understanding that everything is going to be okay. And I think that that's a valuable lesson for people, something that you both reminded us of today. Stick to it. Find, go through the highs, through the lows, and you'll find a stable path to success. So I want to thank you both for being here today with me on the Roundtable Talk Show. You could have been anywhere else in the world, like our other three guests, but you chose to be here with me today. And we made it special. You helped change my life. Emily's going to allow me to change my life to live to be about 120. And Chris is going to make sure I have the financial freedom to live that long. So I enjoy you both. Thank you. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. You're just as important. And no matter when you're watching this show, please go ahead and share this show. And don't just share it. Please visit our guests. Check out their websites. Follow them on social media. Chris is raising money. He's going to do it. Maybe there's something you can do to support him. Contact him. Talk to him about his offers. And we will see you next time on the Roundtable Talk Show. Everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.